I want you to, even right now, just say to yourself, your heart and your spirit, that you're going to open up and that the Lord's going to say something very distinct and very, very neat and unique in your life. I got a phone call from one of you this afternoon who had a spiritual epiphany, just God just speaking to him about things and how God loves people. And so you can hear something tonight that will be so unique and so opening. We're going to talk about miracles. And I'll tell you, one of the points of miracles is going to be this. I'll tell you what they all three are, matter of fact. There's the miracle of provisions. There's a miracle of pathways where God makes a way where there is no way. Anybody ever had him do that in their life? That you didn't think there was no way out of this thing? You didn't think you'd make it through? And you made it through. That's a miraculous thing. But the third point is going to be miraculous perception. Miraculous perceptions. Sometimes we don't see that as a miracle. That God changes your mind about something and opens it up and you get a better understanding. That's a miracle. And I know some people, it would be a miracle for God to change their minds, the way they think about things. That would be a miracle. So let's stand, let's worship God, and open our hearts and minds.
Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. To I surrender. and I surrender.
Places before we celebrate the resurrection, and yet I've seen it so much more common that more and more songs are just leaning toward that and celebrating it throughout the year, not just on Easter Sunday. And this song is so powerful about God's resurrection and through Christ and redeeming our lives. And I read this excerpt from a book I had just finished up, and it's just so powerful because it takes not only from the Old Testament but also from the New Testament and just glorifying that moment on the cross. And it says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us have turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who sacrificed himself for us. Forever he is glorified." Amen.
Storm.
sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
Think of anything better to say than what we're singing tonight, and I can't think of a better feeling to know that He moves us through this life and that we don't have to wait to get to heaven. It is here. We have access to that because He is alive in us. And He provides for us. And He provides for you. It doesn't matter where you are, where you've been. Look back to where you've been, where you are now, and you know that He is going to carry you so much further. And Jesus, we thank You for Your way. And our life might not look like what we think it will or what we might want it to, and it may definitely not look like what other people think it should. But one thing is for certain, and that is when you walk in Him and you listen to His voice and you seek Him, He will find you. He will find Him. And He will carry you through. And when you rest in faith and trust in Him and know that the best is yet to come, we experience it every day. He gives us confirmation after confirmation that when we're following Him, everything is right and we are at peace. God, we praise You for that tonight.
In the mist, in the Thank you.
Let me open by saying something I don't think I said last month, but when we look at the 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, it's not about maturity. It's not about that you have to be a mature person for this gift to flow through you. Paul was writing to the most immature church that there was. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, you are carnal. You walk like men and not like Christians. You don't act like Christ. And he went on to say why they didn't act like Christ is because they had all this stuff inside them called envy and strife and jealousy going on. And so, but these gifts of the Holy Spirit were still resonant with them. So, again, they are, I think we did say last month, they are grace gifts. They're charis gifts. They're unmerited favor gifts. They're gifts that God will do for you and give to you no matter what condition you're in, because it's a gift. Okay? So when he gives a gift, it doesn't matter what position you happen to be in at that particular time. So last week we talked about wisdom, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of healing. And we're going to talk tonight for a few moments about miracles and prophecy and discerning of spirits. And, you know, sometimes when you read the word, the gifts oftentimes have been depersonalized and not personalized. And as we personalize some of them, but then we depersonalize some of the others. Like the gift of speaking in tongues. Well, if I speak in tongues, that's a gift. God's speaking in tongues. I'm speaking in tongues. It's me, right? If I prophesy, it's me prophesying, right? And if I have the gift of healing, then it's me being healed. It's not, I have a special gift to lay hands on people and they be healed. Now, God does heal that way, but still the person who received the gift of healing is the person who was healed. And when we talk about miracles tonight, I think sometimes they can, and it's okay, I don't want to get so semantic with it that it's confusing, but sometimes we still call miracles something when it was a gift of healing. I believe if someone's healed of cancer, I don't believe that's a miracle, even though it's a phenomenal healing, I believe it's a gift of healing. I don't think that was a miracle. But so, and we don't really, when you read the Gospels, you find them talking about Christ and said, and he went about doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, talk about him doing all manner of miracles and stuff. And the Bible talked, and Hebrews talked about all the diverse miracles he did and all these different things. And so the first thing, gift I want to talk about of the three tonight is the gift of miracles. And a gift of miracles is simply a gift that showing forth the mighty deeds of God. I already said to you about the gift of provision, a miracle of provision. Let me say something else before I read out of 1 Kings. If you've got the Bible, which I don't see many of you do, but if you do, you can turn to 1 Kings 17, or you look at your phone or whatever you want to look at, or you just look at me. So, we have to, now listen, this is important. We have to make a way for a miracle to transpire in our life. We have to make a way for a miracle to transpire in our life. We have to put ourselves in a place where a miracle can transpire in our life. We have to believe in them. Be conscious of them, be aware of them, and to believe that at any moment and any time, God will work a miracle through my life. And so Elijah is one of my favorite people in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, he was so powerful that when Peter said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" First thing some of them said, Peter said, "Some say you're Elijah." And why? Because he did some pretty miraculous things flow through him. So he is an awesome guy that a lot of stories happen to, but this one particular story has always intrigued me because God tells Elijah, he says, "I want you to go to Zarephath," in verse 8, "and go live in that village near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." There's three miracles transpire out of this to Elijah. Now, the woman gets a miracle too, but before I talk about her, Elijah is told, you go to a city, and I've commanded a widow there to sustain you. You go on to the next chapter, and you find that Elijah's in a place where ravens come and feed him. And then you find where the angels come and feed him. I want to submit to you tonight that unless we're willing for a widow first to sustain us, and a raven, a dirty bird, to sustain us. It's a dirty bird, I'm telling you. It's a dirty, nasty bird. It eats dead meat. And he brought dead meat. He brought meat that he had eaten dead meat. He eats dead flesh. How would you like to be fed that way? And this raven brought Elijah food. So, you know, we want to choose where our miracles come from, right? They can come from anywhere. They can come from a child in children's church. They can come from your children. They can come from a widow. It took, I believe it took a lot, because Elijah says to her, would you please bring me a little cup, water in a cup? And she was going to get it. He called her, bring me a bite of bread too. She said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil on the bottom of the jug. I was gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. It took a lot of humility. It took a lot of, who would take a widow's last meal? What preacher today said that would not be just so ridiculed and criticized? You're going to take that widow's last meal. But there's a principle in Scripture that I believe opens up all miracles for us in so many ways. And that is the first thing principle. It's the first fruit principle, if you will. And so she did what Elijah said. She went and made him a cake first. And then the Bible says throughout that famine, her meal, barrel of meal never was empty, and never the cruse of oil failed. It kept multiplying day in and day out. Why? Because she did something first. Goes on to say that her son died. And she goes to Elijah and says, did you come to trouble me? And then she gets the greatest miracle of all. Because she had done something, she had given to God first. She not only is provisions made for her, but her son is raised from the dead. Now, I personally believe that's a miracle, because healing's not involved in it. That's a dead body coming back alive. She received a miracle because she did first. I believe there's a first fruit ministry. That if we give God, there's three things, if we'll do and give God first, I believe will make all the difference in the world in opening up our lives to miracles. I believe if we give God the first fruit of our income, that if we are tithers, that we give God the first fruit, then it opens up miracles for us. Matter of fact, the Bible says he had opened the windows of heaven for you. He said, I pour out blessings you don't have room enough to receive them. That I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'll cause the ground to be fruitful. I'll cause whatever you do to be more fruitful if you'll do that. I believe there's the miracle of the first day of the week. That's where we come first day of the week and get our minds realigned with God. That we attend to the things that are really important. We get ourselves renewed in our hearts and our minds so that we can go through the week and do the things that we need to do. I believe that if we'll give God the first fruits and the first day, and if we'll give God first consideration of everything we do, acknowledge the Lord in all that you do, and he will direct your paths. If we can just give God those three things, we open up the gateway. We open up the way, as it were, for miracles to transpire in your life. And God to provide, God to give you the miracle of perception, to perceive things and see things that you've never seen before. You know, he'll open up a pathway where you don't see any way out of this, and yet some way, somehow it happens. And you get through it and you look back and you go, man, I never thought I'd get through that. I never thought I could get through that place, that hard place, that difficult place, that trying place, that so horrible testing place. And yet we do. And we look back and we know, man, it had to be God. But I think one of the greatest miracles is the miracle of perception. When God opens the windows of heaven, windows are to see through. Windows are to perceive what's going on. And I believe one of the greatest miracles of all is people who will open up their hearts and minds and they will allow God to speak to them and change the way they're thinking. That's what God tried to do. That's why he ended up calling Israel, didn't he? Be stiff-necked, rebellious. Why? They wouldn't change their thinking. Jesus spent 3.5 years trying to change Israel's thinking. And if he could have changed their thinking, so many wonderful things would have transpired in their life, but he couldn't change their thinking. Because you know what? They had those two words in them. I know. I know. I already know this. And like I said the other week, the moment you say, I know, you have shut down all future understanding, revelation, opening up to you, because you already know it. Greatest thing you can do is keep an open heart and an open mind and know that from now on, Dave is doing our graphics now, and so we're trying to change the graphics very much, even though it's on being, we're trying to focus on a certain aspect of it. And this next month, the graphic has Mary in her yoga position meditating. And when we first saw that, I thought, you know, I don't know if we should do this or not. No, see, if people would pray like this, more than like this, you'd get more this. Because if you would listen and you're praying more than you talk, you would hear God. Because a lot of people pray like they talk to other people. They never give the other person an opportunity to say anything. Because they won't hush. Sometimes God can't talk to us because we won't hush. We won't be quiet and listen. Meditation is one of the greatest things that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to grab hold of and to understand is how to meditate. You know, meditation comes from the word, it's actually a murmuring, but it's a good murmuring. It's murmuring to yourself the things of God. It's blessing yourself. It's thinking about good things. It's having God speak and talk to you. All right, but that's not what we're on tonight. Next thing he said, there's a gift of prophecy. And prophecy is for three things. It's to give you strength, to give you encouragement, and to give you comfort. Somebody not here, but we have a counseling ministry here and ministers to a lot of people. And most of the people who come through the doors don't go to church here. Most of the people who come through the doors to go to coaching don't go to church here. And there's some people in counseling who have gone through, by their own talk, spiritual abuse. And one of the greatest evidences of spiritual abuse is over the years has been the gifts of the Holy Spirit. People have been abused by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy was so abused years ago with prophets trying to tell people what to do, where to go, when to eat, when to do this, when to do that. And it was directional prophecy, in which that's not where prophecy is. Basically forth-telling the will of God in a person's life. And the will of God in a person's life is to give them strength. It's to give them comfort. It's to bless them. About several months ago, there's a young man sitting right back here about where this lady's sitting. And I walked back and I gave him this word. I knew there were words of strength. I knew there were words of comfort. And I knew there were words of, you know, encouragement. But they didn't make any sense to me. Matter of fact, when I got through, I really thought I blew it. I really thought. But when something like that happens to me and I blew it, I know I didn't say nothing bad. So I ain't going to hurt him by what I said. But I just figured, if you got something out of that. But you know what? His mother came up to me the next Sunday and said, you will not believe how much that encouraged him. He needed to hear every single word of that. Because it's just, all it was, it's just words of encouragement. It's all prophecy is. It's telling somebody something good. It's speaking something wholesome over their life. That's why it starts off in 1 Corinthians 12, and he talks about speech. He talks about the speechless idols they were serving, and then talked about how you not to say certain things. You know, the church at that day, if you apostated, what they call apostate, if you left the flock, you were cursed. And that's why Paul said, no man by the Holy Spirit needs to do that and can do that. Don't do that. Don't curse people. Don't speak those kind of words over people. When I was thinking about that today, I started meditating about the book of Jude. Now, that's a tough little old book. It's a small, outside of 1 John 3, I guess, it's the smallest letter book in the Bible. It's just one chapter. And Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. And he talks in there about how they spoke evil of dignitaries and how they would, their speech, what they were saying about things. And he says a lot of other stuff. And so Spencer had come into the office this morning, and Ralph was there. And so I asked them both to come to my office. I want to talk to them a minute. And I sat down and I said, you know, Jude is... That's quite a book. And Spencer says, I never preached much out of that one. He said, it's just a tough one to look into. And Ralph, which cracks me up so many times, but Ralph said, I think, you know, Jude's a half-brother of Jesus, so you know that before I say this. He's a half-brother of Jesus. And Ralph said, I think he was ticked off. I think he was ticked off because of what his brother had done on the cross and how they were reacting to it. And he says, I just think Jude was he was taking up an offense for his brother Jesus, and he was just going to blast him. And when Ralph said that, I thought to myself, I looked at it and I read it again. It said, sounds like to me he was ticked off too. Anyway, but he said, Jude said this, not even the archangel Michael brought a railing accusation against Satan, Lucifer. Wow. Because when Moses died, there was a dispute over the body of Moses, and Archangel Michael came to get Moses' body. And that's the reason the Bible, nobody knows where Moses is buried. The angels took him and buried him. And there's a reason God did things like that. Can you imagine what kind of monument that would be if we knew where Moses was buried? What kind of... Well, ain't no telling. I don't know. Anyway, so he says this. Archangel Michael didn't even bring a railing. It's amazing how we bring railing accusations against people, and an angel wouldn't even bring one against the Satan himself. Wow. You know, that's just food for thought. Thought for you. Thought for me. Eat it. Throw it out. I don't know. Prophecy. Foretelling the wonderful will of God for your life, blessing you. And then discernment, discerning of spirits. If there's anything you need to do in your life over your lifetime is to let the gift of discerning of spirits flow through your life. We all need it at times in our life. Everybody needs it. There was in Acts 16, there was a young girl says was following Paul and the disciples, and said he followed them for days, and she kept saying this: listen to these men, for they proclaim to you the way of salvation. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? But she followed them for days, and finally the apostle Paul just stopped and turned around and cast the demon out of her. Even though she was saying the right thing, she didn't have the right attitude, she didn't have the right spirit about her. And Paul discerned that. And let me tell you, a way for the discerning of spirits to really flow right in you is for you to have a right spirit. If you have a right spirit, discerning of spirits can flow through you in a much greater way because my spirit's right. Amen. One of the things I want to say in closing tonight, and I want us to stand in a moment and do something, but we have to put ourselves always in a place for the miraculous to happen in our life that God, wherever you want to bring it through, wherever you're going to bring it from, whomever you want it to come through, however you want to do it, is okay with me. It's okay with me. I don't have to be like the leper who says, why didn't he tell me to go wash in one of these other rivers? Why didn't he tell me to go wash in that dirty river? Why do you have to? I remember my daddy, he told this story so many times, it's so easy to remember. We talked about a man on a farm who owned this farm, and he had this slave that worked for him. And the slave was very committed to God, and the farmer was so-so. But the farmer really wanted a more close or whatever intimate relationship with God. And what he asked for, he really wanted what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so he kept asking God for it, and he never seemed to get through and never got it. And one day he asked his slave, said, how can I get this thing? And slave said, if you'll go down to that hog pen you have, and you'll crawl over the fence into the hog pen, and if you'll get down in the hog pen, if you roll around in the hog pen with the hogs, you'll get it. And of course the master said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he said, okay. So about 6 months later, whatever, the slave looks and he sees the farmer heading for the hog pen. And he runs out and he grabs him and says, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get in the hog pen. He says, you ain't got to get in the hog pen. You just got to be willing to get in the hog pen. And sometimes in life, that's all God wants. He's got to be willing to do whatever and however and whenever. Because the willing part of one of my favorite scriptures in the Gospels is a strange scripture. He that wills to know the will of God will know of the doctrine if it's true or not. If you will to know what's true, he said you'll know it. But you got to be willing. Because my willingness is going to say, God, I will allow you to break up and plow up, change my heart and change my thoughts, and give me new insights. And even as a pastor, to be able to stand up for a congregation 5 years later and say, that wasn't really right. We have more enlightenment on that now. And that really wasn't the way. And we get more understanding about it. You know, you got to be willing for that to happen, Billy. You got to be willing to humble yourself and say, you know, I was wrong. There's three words I learned years ago, the most powerful words I'd ever know as a pastor. Ever know. Three words in two sentences. And I had to learn to say them and mean it when I said them. And it so freed me up. I was wrong. I don't know. Those two, three sentences, three words, freed me up that I don't know everything, and I was wrong about a lot of things. But we'll continue to strive on until we see and hear and be what he wants us to be. Amen. I want you to stand up. I want you to see how simple it is to be God to somebody. All right? There's you, somebody right there. I want you to just look at him. And I want you to just tell him something good. I just want you to bless him. Tell him something you see about him that's really neat.
You were always light. You were just watching you on stage worship and knowing that you're not just leading us into his presence. You are his presence when I see you on stage doing that.
You receive that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That is awesome stuff. Tell me something you really like about me.
Coming back to Eagles Way and hearing everything you have to say has changed me in the last 2 years of my life, and I really appreciate you for it.
Thank you. He knows all that. So, you say something good, but everybody needs encouragement, though. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs to be encouraged. Right, Mary? Thank you for all these years of commitment here. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Your smiling face, Thank you for calling me and not being hesitant to call me and ask me to go to the hospital and see somebody. I was so blessed today to go minister to that lady. She just so blessed me when I walked in. She blessed me more than I blessed her. She was a real blessing. Thank you for doing that. So it's just, wow. Tell Elizabeth something you really...
I really appreciate your heart for all the friends and your willingness to stand up for them and to just constantly feed, not like just physically, but spiritually, and to push into our hearts. I think it's a really amazing.
I'll remind you, Shane, something I said to you the other day. You're just looking good. You just got the glow of God on your life. Things are just going good. And I'm just encouraged that you're encouraged.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Amen. Back at you. Back at you. All right. I'll just say something to this lady. Just encourage her.
Do you know her name?
No. But I do know, but I can't think of
it. I'm joking.
Her name is Amy. Say something, Amy.
I appreciate your willingness to go to work every day with the hardest of kids and minister to them without ever saying Jesus. You minister to them every day.
Amen. Thank you for sharing me before the service what you shared about. That was very uplifting and encouraging to me to know that how you handled that years ago and how where God's brought you today and where God's bringing a whole lot of people today to a greater understanding of God's great love. God's great love for people. God's great love for humanity. And that's what it's all about. Can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with God's love. You can't go wrong with sharing God's love, being God's love, giving God's love. You just can't go wrong with that. You can go wrong in a lot of other ways, but you can't go wrong with that. You can't go wrong with. Thank you, Dave, for calling me today and sharing what you shared. That was uplifting to me to see how you're letting God speak to you and you're opening your heart and your mind, your ears to listen. And isn't it great? Isn't that kind of perception so awesome? Aren't you glad you see it that way now? It's just so good. It's rich, rich. Rich. Amen. Well, if you want to look at somebody else tonight and just tell them before they get out of here what they mean to you, you may not even know them. Just say, just something about you that just I like. Father, thank you for the gifts of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as I heard it said so many years ago, I love this statement, when the gifts go to church, the church becomes not an organization, but an organism. It becomes alive. It becomes alive. And we want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through this body, through every individual and every person, so that this body is alive with you. Alive, alive, alive. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.